Welcome to the Cancer Care Connect workshop. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions will follow at that time. If anyone should require assistance during the workshop, please press star then zero on your touch-tone telephone. And as a reminder, this workshop is being recorded. At this time, I would like to introduce your moderator for today's workshop, Dr. Carolyn Messner, Director of Education and Training at Cancer Care. Please go ahead.
Well, thank you very much, Mary, and I, too, would like to welcome everyone to today's Cancer Care Connect workshop, The Importance of Taking Your Pills on Schedule and Understanding Adherence. And this is a very timely topic at this time of year when there are so many things going on. Sometimes it's hard to remember to take your pills, and you're going to have lots of tips and hints on how to remember to take your pills and how important it is to take your pills on schedule. And today's program is a collaborative effort between Cancer Care and many other cancer organizations. And it really is because of that collaboration that we've been able to reach so many of you on the call today. We have on the call today over 544 participants on the call. So there's a lot of you. This is a very large call on the call today. And you really come from all over the United States. You come from large cities and small cities. You also come from rural and frontier communities as well as suburban areas. And we have international participants from Australia, the Dominican Republic, Nigeria, Venezuela, and the United Kingdom. So you truly come from all over the world, and it's a credit to you that you've chosen to spend the next hour with us. You are truly a group of information seekers. Now, today's program was made possible through an educational grant from OSI Oncology in Melville, New York, and I really want to thank them for their support of this important program. I'd like to turn your attention for a moment to the materials that you received from Cancer Care. In those materials is an outline the speakers have prepared of topics that they'll be covering, and there also is information about all of the different collaborating organizations as resources for you to contact after the call for further information. And there also is an evaluation form, and I would ask each of you to take a moment and complete that evaluation form because your feedback is so critically important to us. When you think about it, who but each of you can best tell us the programs and the topics you want us to offer? This particular topic is one that a number of you have been asking about for many years, and we've been really grateful to be able to offer this program. And so your topics and your suggestions, really, we take them very seriously, and we actually try to put them into place as quickly as we can so that you can have that information, really. Tell us what you'd like, and we're going to try very hard to do it. We're planning a lot of programs for this year, and the timing of your telling us what you'd like us to do couldn't be better. Now, we have wonderful speakers on our program today, and I want to begin by introducing our first speaker, Dr. Heather Wakely. Dr. Wakely is Assistant Professor, Department of Medicine, Division of Oncology, Stanford University, Stanford Cancer Center. And Dr. Wakely is going to begin by presenting an overview of cancer treatments. She's going to define what adherence means, the importance of taking your pill on schedule, the important role of adherence in the management of cancer, and clinical trials. It's my pleasure now to turn the program over to Dr. Wakely.
Thank you very much, Carolyn. It's a pleasure to be on this call. So I wanted to take sort of a broad overview first about cancer treatments in general. And I think that most listeners are aware that we approach cancer in many different ways. And how we go about it really depends on several factors about the particular tumor a person has. That includes the type of cancer, where it started in the body, but also how advanced it is. So with small tumors, and again, the staging specifics, we have numbers, the 1, 2, 3, and 4, and that varies a lot depending on the type of cancer. But in general, the smaller numbers, the stage 1 and 2, many times we talk about surgery to treat those. Sometimes radiation is brought in for the various stages. But for many, many people living with cancer, they will need some form of systemic chemotherapy or hormonal treatment, or now in this era we have more targeted drugs. So when people think about chemotherapy, we tend to think about the drugs that are given by vein, where a patient would go into an infusion center and have an IV started and have the chemotherapy sort of dripped in over time. And we still rely a lot on that type of treatment. It's a very important component of cancer treatment for many, many patients. But we also have medications that are given orally, and that's the focus of today's discussion. I think because we're all used to taking pills once in a while, whether it's an over-the-counter pain medication because we have a headache or for blood pressure, people get used to taking medications. And I think we often tend to think of them as being somehow not as important, not as critical, or not as potent, strong as the IV chemotherapy drugs. But really, they can be just as important, in some cases even more important than the IV chemo. And that's, again, why we're focusing on this treatment today, on this topic today. So I wanted to emphasize that whether the medication is given by vein or given by mouth, these are medications that are designed to get absorbed either through the stomach or obviously if it's intravenous directly into the blood system. But they get into the blood system and circulate throughout the whole body. And the idea is that that way they will be focused where there is cancer that we know about, but also getting to any places that the cancer might have gone that we don't know about. And that's why they're so important and so critical a part of treating many, many people with cancer. When someone is getting an IV treatment, they come in pretty regularly to see their doctor. Some of these IV treatments are given every day for a few days. Some are once a week. Some are every few weeks. But people have to come in and be seen and get their IV treatment. And so we always know that people are getting their treatment and getting it on schedule. Or if they're not getting it on schedule, we know that also and can address that and talk about what the issues are. But with an oral medication, people are really left to themselves. It's really on the person to remember to take their medication on schedule. And it's important, again, to remember that these oral medications, even though they're pills, they are just as important in treating cancer as any IV treatment might be. There are many different types of oral drugs. There are chemotherapy drugs that are just like the chemotherapy drugs we give by vein, but we've been able to figure out how to turn them into pills in some cases. And there are also oral drugs that are hormones. We have hormone treatments that are very important for treating prostate cancer and breast cancer and some other specific types of cancers. And now we're moving into an era where we have drugs that are what we call targeted. And the targeted drugs work in specific types of cancers and usually only work in some patients with specific types of cancer. So I spend a lot of time treating lung cancer patients, and I'm going to talk about a couple examples from that. I think it illustrates the point. In lung cancer, we now know that about 10% of people with lung cancer have a change, what we call a mutation, in a gene called the epidermal growth factor receptor, or EGFR. And in the last, really it's been about 6 years, we've figured out that for that 10% of, there's about 10% that have that mutation, we can actually find that now. And we know that for people that have that mutation, they respond really, really well to an oral drug called erlotinib, or an oral drug called gefitinib. And so we can use the information we gather by testing the tumor to give people these oral medications, which have to be taken once a day. And those drugs in that type, in those particular people, can work better than standard chemotherapy. And people who have that know that they need to take that medication every day, that they need to be aware of certain other medications that can interact with the chemotherapy drug, and also specific foods. And it's important, as we talk about all of these different oral treatments, that any patient who's taking these oral medications needs to remember that because they are chemotherapy treatments or cancer treatments, that they can also interact with other medications, and it's really critical to always talk to your doctor about that. Another example of an oral targeted drug in lung cancer is a new drug called crizotinib, and that works, again, in a very small number of lung cancer patients, but for those patients, it works as well, if not better, than chemotherapy. And those patients have a particular mutation in a drug, in a gene called ALK. And I'm using that as an example to illustrate to the listeners that we're moving towards a time when we'll be able to more carefully identify each patient's specifics about that patient's tumor and how we can go after it besides just giving standard chemotherapy drugs. For now, though, for most people, the standard chemotherapy drugs remain the right approach. And whether those are pills or not is going to, of course, depend on each patient's tumor. I wanted to move a little bit now and talk about adherence and what that means. And adherence just means taking your drug on schedule as prescribed. And again, there are many, many drugs that are used to treat cancer that are given as pills. Some of them are given every day. Some of them are given a couple times a day. Others are given just for a week at a time, and then there's a break. Others are given, just various different schedules. And so it's important when you are being prescribed a new cancer treatment that is a pill drug that you work very carefully with your doctor and the rest of the healthcare team to get a very clear schedule of exactly how it's supposed to be taken. And it's important to ask about what time of day, whether or not to take it with food, and that's always a very critical question. If there are any foods that need to be avoided, and I'll just mention one food that often needs to be avoided is grapefruits. So for reasons we don't fully understand, grapefruit, but no other citrus fruit, tends to interact with some enzymes in the liver that are involved in breaking down or metabolizing some of these newer oral drugs. So it's important to ask if there are any foods that you shouldn't take, and also ask about whether or not there are any medications that could interact with the medication that you've been prescribed to treat the cancer. So once you have all that information and then are at home and taking the medication, it's important to get on a schedule where the medication, if it's a daily medication, is taken at pretty much the same time. I usually tell my patients plus or minus an hour is fine, but if it's going to be more than that, there's a potential for causing times in the day where you either have too low of a level, or what we worry about more is if you take the drugs at too close of an interval, perhaps too high of a level, which might lead to more side effects. So very important to figure out some way of remembering to take your medications at the same time every day. Many of my patients will sort of time it with their meal or when they wake up in the morning. Again, it's going to depend on if it's a medication you should take with or without food. One of the key things to know with a lot of the oral medications is that they are designed so that they're either released over time or they're medications that are able to stay in the bloodstream for a long enough period of time that you can go for that 24-hour period. But you need to remember that as you take the pill, that's really like the time that it's going into your body, then being absorbed, and those levels then sort of stay, either they tend to peak a little bit and then stay at a steady level afterwards, but over time wear down too, just like with any other medication. And so I think for patients who are able to think about the fact that each time they take their drug, they're really refreshing that dose in their body, it helps to emphasize the importance of taking it on schedule. If a medication is skipped, the levels in the body of that drug can drop quite low in a day. Again, it depends a lot on the medication. Some stick around a little bit longer. Some are very, very dependent on being taken on schedule. And if you do skip a dose, it can sometimes reduce how effective that drug is significantly. Of course, things happen. People forget. If you do end up skipping a dose, it's important to have either talked ahead of time with your healthcare team about what to do in that setting, or to know who to contact to talk to on your healthcare team about what to do to make up for it. It's not a good idea to assume, oh, I skipped a dose yesterday, I should take two pills today. That's usually not the right approach. And so, again, I emphasize that it's important that you talk to your healthcare team if you do skip a dose about what to do and how critical it is. But, of course, you know, things happen. We can't change it. If that has happened, you just want to know what's the right way to move forward. The last topic I really wanted to focus on is clinical trials. I've hinted a little bit about it when I talked about some of the newer drugs in lung cancer, and I should emphasize that there are many, many new pill drugs that have been approved really in the last 5 years. when I started as an oncologist, and I won't say exactly when that was, but it was a while ago, we didn't really have too many oral medications. There were some hormone medications, like tamoxifen's been around for a very long time for breast cancer, some others that were used in prostate cancer, and there were a couple of oral chemo medications that were used at times, but not too many. But in the last decade, and especially in the last 5 years, we've seen an explosion of new pill drugs that are focused to treat different types of cancer. And many of them have been focused on what we call the angiogenesis pathway, the blood vessel forming pathway, or VEGF, the vascular endothelial growth factor, as one of the targets. There have been many drugs approved now to treat that, both in kidney cancer in particular. It's had a lot of those type of medications and others. And so that's become more and more accepted that people are going to be taking pill drugs. But the only way we learned about them was through patients participating in clinical trials. Whenever there's a new discovery in the laboratory, things look exciting, we've figured out more about a particular cancer, we can't know that that drug works in people until we have it go through the formal clinical trial testing. And with clinical trials, the earliest trials look at the dosing to make sure we know the safe dose, the one that seems to work. Then we go into the phase two testing where we get a better sense of how well a drug works. And the final phase before we can get a drug approved is always the phase three testing. And those are the tests that often have comparisons or almost always have a comparison where half the patients in a trial usually are getting one treatment, which is an older standard treatment, and half the people are getting the newer treatment. And that's how we learn if the new treatments really work or not. And fortunately, we've had a lot of success recently and have been able to develop a lot of these newer drugs and also have been able to figure out how they work best in which patients. And as we move forward in treating cancer, I believe we're going to have more and more very targeted treatments that are, and many of them are going to be oral pill drugs. And I think with that, I'll stop because I know we have a few other exciting speakers, and I want to make sure there's time for questions.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Wakely, for wonderful setting the stage for this whole program today and for lots of information that you've provided, and I know there'll be questions for you during the Q&A. Our next speaker is Dr. Catherine Ruddy, and she's instructor in medicine, Harvard Medical School, medical oncologist, Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. And Dr. Ruddy is going to address barriers to taking your pills on schedule, practical tips to overcome these barriers, planning ahead for prescription refills, weekends, and traveling, and communicating with your healthcare team. It's my pleasure now to turn the program over to Dr. Ruddy.
Thank you so much. I'm so pleased to be invited to participate in this call. I spend most of my time treating breast cancer patients, mostly women, but also some men. And one of my research interests is to look at how to help patients best take their cancer therapies. And many of my breast cancer patients do end up requiring oral therapy at some point during their treatment. Often that's tamoxifen, as Dr. Wakely mentioned, but also other anti-estrogen medications and sometimes oral chemotherapies. And there's substantial evidence to suggest that many of them don't really take the medication exactly as prescribed. I'm very interested in helping patients with all sorts of cancers follow the instructions about taking their cancer treatments as accurately as possible in order to optimize really how well patients do. And as was said, I've been asked today to provide some helpful tips that you who are cancer patients may be able to use in your efforts to fight your cancer with oral treatments. First, I was asked to talk about barriers, and barriers is a popular word in the field of research on adherence. What it really means is what is preventing you from taking your pills on time and as prescribed. And I was also asked to talk about tips to overcome these barriers, ways to get around this, these issues that are preventing the medication taking, also planning ahead and communicating with your healthcare team. So data are inconsistent regarding what exactly causes trouble in terms of preventing people from being able to take their oral cancer therapies on schedule. And each of you is the expert in exactly what issues are pertinent to you. For me, I can tell you that when I try to take a calcium pill every morning, I stand in my bathroom so many mornings wondering whether I already took the pill or not. I remember meaning to take it, but I'm not really sure whether I did. And many of you can probably relate to this. With calcium, taking an extra one won't harm me, so I usually err on the side of doing that if I can't remember. But with cancer therapies, which which are generally more toxic than calcium if you take too much, this is a much bigger problem. And in addition, for me, I sometimes find that a day goes by and I totally forget about the calcium, which is obviously a much bigger issue if we're talking about cancer treatments. In large studies, it actually appears that forgetting is probably the most common issue behind missed doses for pills. And there's also some data to suggest that another big barrier for cancer therapies for people taking cancer therapies on time is when patients, as Dr. Wakely mentioned, don't quite understand how they're supposed to be taking the medications. I think doctors often think that when they write out a prescription for something and they think they're being clear on the prescription about when the pill should be taken, it's not really that clear when you get home and you have the pill bottle in front of you exactly what time of the day, whether you're supposed to be taking it with food, what you're supposed to do if you have certain side effects. I think that can be a major issue for a major barrier to adherence. We know that cancer patients who feel a lack of control over their health care, in other words, if you don't feel that you've had a role in making the decisions that led to your current treatment, then you may be less likely to take the medications. And also we know that adherence, taking the pills on time, tends to decrease over time. So the first year you're taking a medication, you may be very accurate about taking it, but as time goes on, by the time you're in the fifth year of a medication, you may be missing more and more doses. Interestingly, it looks like among adults, age is not really a factor. In most studies have not shown that age impacts upon barriers to adherence. In kids, we know that adolescents are least likely to take their pills, but it doesn't really look like people who are much older or much younger within adults have different rates of missing doses. As Dr. Wakely mentioned, regimens that require more frequent doses can be more difficult to follow accurately. There's also an issue where sometimes patients take a drug more often than they were told to if they're confused about the regimen or if they think that taking more will help them more, which may be partly due to doctors not explaining accurately how the medication should be taken. Side effects can be a major barrier to adherence as well. So, for example, if a medication causes a lot of diarrhea, some patients may not take it on days when they're expecting a long car trip or an important professional or social meeting. So we're coming upon the holidays, and that may be something that some of you are facing. If you're expecting a big family gathering, you may decide not to take a medication that has certain side effects that make that more difficult for you. And I think this can be a big issue for many people. Another barrier to adherence can be when there's significant behavioral change required for you to be able to take the medication. For example, if your medication has to be refrigerated and you have to walk all the way across your office building every day to get to the fridge, get out the medication, and take it, you may have less good adherence than you would have if this was easily taken just in your desk drawer. Or if a medication has to be taken in the morning on a full stomach but you aren't used to eating breakfast, it may be less likely that you actually are able to take it as prescribed. Inconvenient or inefficient clinics or pharmacies can also play a role here. So if you have to wait on hold for 15 minutes every time you call your doctor's office to request a refill for a prescription, or if the line at your pharmacy is always very long, you may delay requesting or picking up your monthly supply of medication if you're busy. Plus, if there's a week-long delay between the time that you request the renewed prescription from your doctor and the time the doctor actually calls in the prescription or faxes it to the pharmacy, this may add to the number of doses you miss. There may actually be a gap between each month's prescription. As we talked about, communication with your healthcare provider, if this is poor, this may really impede your ability to adhere to your medication. And it also looks like patients who don't trust their physicians or don't believe strongly that the medication is going to help them may be less likely to take the medication accurately. Social support can also be an issue. So if you don't drive and you need someone else to go to the pharmacy, pick up the prescription for you, but you don't actually have that many friends or family members nearby who are able to help with that, then that can really interfere with your ability to keep on schedule with your medication. And we also know that if you are having trouble with your thinking or you're feeling depressed, that can also interfere with your taking of your medications. So really these barriers to taking your pills on schedule kind of fall into three groups. One of the groups is personal factors, things like your emotional state, your health beliefs, your social supports, your feelings about your disease, and even things like socioeconomic status. So if you can afford the pills, that can obviously be a big problem for some people. And the second group of factors that weigh in here are treatment factors, the reason for your therapy, the schedule of the pills, the evidence for benefit of the pills, the side effects, and the costs. And then the third group is the healthcare system factors, which is your relationship with your healthcare providers, your satisfaction with your healthcare, your insurance coverage, and the convenience of your clinic and pharmacy. So how do we try to overcome some of these barriers? There have been some studies that show that educating patients about exactly how to take medications, providing psychological support, and also getting some training in pill taking, including perhaps even practicing self-medication with a healthcare provider present, may actually improve adherence. Things like blister pack dispensing, meaning that when you push on that you get a pack of pills and you dispense each one individually rather than having a whole pill bottle full where you can't keep track of whether you took the pill or not. That can help, and as can education from a pharmacist. But I think in general, for each individual, depending on what the specific barriers are to the adherence, then there may be different methods that are most effective to optimize each person's ability to take the cancer treatments as prescribed. One thing that I think is useful for everyone to think about, a practical tip, is discussing your side effects with a healthcare provider. Some of the side effects that you think are due to a medication might actually be due to a different medication or to an entirely unrelated medical condition. And medical management, either with another medication or with lifestyle changes, may help minimize your symptoms so that you feel comfortable taking your pills as prescribed. For example, when I prescribe a patient tamoxifen for an early-stage breast cancer, she or he may experience a lot of hot flashes. And sometimes patients tell me that they skip doses in order to try to reduce their hot flashes. But because this may increase the chance that their cancer will come back if they skip too many doses, and it may not even help with the hot flashes, I'd much prefer that the patient tell me about the hot flashes so that I can help them with solutions such as dressing in layers or keeping the bedroom cool, and also perhaps I could prescribe a medication that could help reduce the hot flashes. The second practical tip I have that I think is useful for a lot of patients are pill boxes. And these are basically boxes in which you lay out the pills for the week ahead of time. So you put Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and you can put the pills, if you have different pills to take at different times of the day, each one gets its own little section. So then when you take the pill, you know whether or not you've taken it. So that would solve my problem with the calcium. If I had laid these out in a pill box ahead of time, I would know, okay, it's Monday, that box is empty, I've already taken that pill. And anecdotally, many of my patients do tell me that these are quite helpful in telling them if they've taken their pills for the day or not, and therefore that they're able to improve their adherence to the regimen. Now, I think the third practical tip I have is that reminders to take your pills can be very helpful. So that can take the form of a phone call from a friend or family member, or even just a watch or cell phone alarm. And in the future, we may actually have talking pill bottles that are widespreadly used to remind us how to take our medications. So moving on to planning ahead for prescription refills, weekends, and traveling, because I'm a breast oncologist and prescribe oral hormonal therapy to many of my patients, it's not uncommon that a patient pages me from her vacation to report that she's forgotten her pill bottle at home. So together then we find a nearby pharmacy so that she can get at least enough pills to carry her through the remainder of her vacation. But depending on when she last filled it and on her insurance, this can be somewhat difficult. And it's particularly hard and sometimes impossible to get an emergency supply of pills if the patient is traveling internationally. So really, in that case, planning ahead is very crucial. I encourage my patients, and I would encourage you, to check the number of refills available on your prescription each time you pick up a new pill bottle so that when you're on the last bottle, you contact your physician to re-prescribe it. Without this, patients sometimes go to pick up more of a medication right on their way out of town for a trip, find that there are no refills, and then can't reach me or another physician in time to get a new prescription before they leave. Depending on the indication for the medication and how long the medication stays in the body, missing a dose can be more or less serious, as Dr. Wakely explained. So communicating with your healthcare team is really crucial here. And in some cases, when a drug is causing severe toxicity, non-adherence may even be very appropriate, at least until a patient can get guidance from a healthcare provider. For example, when I prescribe an oral chemotherapy called capecitabine or Xeloda to patients, I tell them to stop taking the drug immediately if they develop severe uncontrollable diarrhea or a lot of pain in the hands and feet. And I tell them to wait until they're able to speak with me before they consider restarting it. I ask them to contact me immediately in that situation so we can work together to manage the side effects. And obviously there, that's something I need to discuss with them when I prescribe the drug so that they know what to do when that happens. Close communication with your healthcare team is essential to making sure that they can help manage your side effects and optimize your ability to take the prescribed drugs as safely and effectively as possible. Unfortunately, although I do encourage my patients to call, email, and page with any medication concerns, I recently had a patient who did stop her anti-estrogen therapy for more than a month before she remembered to tell me, and when she did, I realized that the symptom for which she stopped the medication was due to an entirely different medical problem, so she'd been off the anti-estrogen therapy needlessly, and that problem hadn't been treated for a month, and I felt bad about that, and I think we had a failure of communication. So in conclusion, I'd suggest that the key to improving your ability to take your cancer therapies as prescribed requires a four-pronged approach. First, it's important to try to identify what factors are interfering with adherence for you. Is it that you're having trouble remembering, that you're experiencing too many side effects from the drug, that you're uncertain how to take it, that you have trouble getting the refills you need due to insurance issues or slow systems at your physician's office or pharmacy? And once you figure out what the obstacles are to your own adherence, you can go on to try to find ways to minimize or to get around these barriers. So this step two, for some people, that means starting to use a daily pill box or asking a friend or family member to call at the same time daily to remind you to take a pill. Then the third step is to make sure that you plan ahead for prescription refills, weekends, and traveling, so you're not unwittingly stuck without the medication. And finally, it's very important to communicate with your healthcare team to manage side effects and to make sure you understand your medication regimen fully. Following this strategy of developing a system that facilitates accurate pill taking, combined with clear and open communication with your healthcare team, will optimize your ability to be adherent. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll be happy to take questions later in the call.
Oh, thank you very much, Dr. Rowley. Just a wonderful presentation and a lot of very helpful tips, and I think there will be lots of questions for you during the Q&A, but just thank you so much. And our next speaker is Patricia Spicer. Pat is an oncology social worker, and she's program coordinator for cancer care. And Pat is going to talk about the free psychosocial services offered by cancer care. Pat?
Oh, thank you, Carolyn. It's always a pleasure to be on these teleconference symposiums and to have a chance to interact with the people out throughout the country. There are a couple of things that were mentioned in the previous speaker's presentation were really important, but I'd like to add one or two. One of the other barriers that we find toward adherence with taking our pills is the cost. For some people, particularly on those on Medicare, when they hit the donut hole, it can be prohibitively expensive, and in many instances, cancer care can offer help through our copay assistance foundation. And you can contact us online or by phone. Online, it's www.cancercare.org, and by phone, it's 1-800-413-86723. And you can contact us and we can be of help to you perhaps with the cost of your prescription. The other thing that sometimes becomes a barrier is that people are not sure that the pills that they are taking are as effective as if they would be giving infusible chemotherapy. This is a discussion you should have with your healthcare team because the newer drugs, as the doctors have mentioned, are stronger and are more effective in controlling cancer, and you want to be sure that you understand what it is you're taking and why you're taking it. So have this conversation with your doctors about the importance of why your physician has prescribed that particular medication. Again, if you are having problems or if you would just like to talk to somebody about some of the issues that you are having in terms of your adherence to medication, we can be reached online, as I said, or at 1-800-413-86723. 813-4673, and we'll be glad to talk with you and to help you solve your problems. Thank you, Carolyn.
Well, thank you very much, Pat, and thanks for describing all the services that people can access from Cancer Care. And now we have time for questions. We actually have a lot of time for questions. I'm going to ask Mary to bring all of our speakers on board, and I'm going to ask Mary also to explain to our audience how to queue up for questions and we'll start the questions. Mary?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. If your question has been answered and you wish to remove yourself from the queue, you may press the pound key. Our first question comes from Lori S.
Hi. I wanted to ask a question about when you're traveling. I travel frequently across different time zones, and I'm always kind of concerned about how when I should be taking the pill. I'm in the mountains time, if I travel to the East Coast, should I be trying to do it the same time mountain time?
Well, that's a great question, Lori. Thank you so much. It was a question that we know is a real issue for lots of people on the call. I'm going to ask Dr. Arati to address that question.
Sure. You know, it depends a little bit on what medication you're on, but in general, if these are short trips that you're taking, I do think it's easiest to try to just stick on your home time zone so that you're not constantly having to rotate to different time zones.
Okay, and we certainly would encourage you, everyone on the call, to actually definitely discuss that with your treating healthcare team as well. It's really important. It's a very important question to ask, and particularly for those of you who either travel a lot. We're also entering a time of year when people sometimes are traveling, and perhaps it's kind of that last thing on the list of things to do. But we want you to put this as the first thing on your list of things to do. So we want you to be sure to keep this in mind and ask your healthcare team to help you with it as well. Okay, our next question, please.
Our next question comes from Sharon G.
Hello. I'm on a schedule where I have to take pills, different doses at different days. And my husband and I just set up a spreadsheet in Excel that lists all the dates and each week and the days and how much I'm supposed to take. And then I just cross it off each time I take that amount. And I find that it's helping. So I'm not sure if that's just another recommendation for some people that might be useful because you have it right there each day next to your bed or your pills.
Oh, thank you, Sharon. That's wonderful. You know, our audience has a lot of tips, too. Dr. Rudd, do you want to comment on that as well? This is terrific.
I think that's a fantastic idea. And it's great that you guys can all teach us also. I think that's something I could bring back to my patients as an idea to share.
So, I find that a lot of my patients put a chart up on the refrigerator where they can check off their daily pills and what they've taken. Also, some patients use a notebook with the date at the top of the page and keep track of their medications that way.
So we actually now at this point in the call, we welcome either tips that you want to share that you're working for you, like Sharon has done, or questions as well. And we have actually a question from one of our participants online who emailed about, this time of year and flu shots and what about that? And I'm going to ask Dr. Wakely if she would address that question in terms of flu shots and what do you do about those?
Sure, that's a great question. So most of the oral agents don't affect the immune system in the same way that the IV chemo. There are some exceptions to that, of course. But in either case, flu shots are important. They're important for most members of the community, but particularly for patients living with cancer. And so we do strongly encourage everyone to get their flu shot unless there's a specific reason they can't. And those would be things to discuss, of course, with an individual's physician or healthcare team. But we do encourage people to get their flu shots. Also encourage, I'm out in California, there's been a big pertussis outbreak, so we're encouraging people to get a pertussis booster as well. And pneumonia vaccines are important, too. There is some controversy over the shingles vaccine, and I did want to at least mention that. So that's something that would be important to discuss on an individual basis. A lot of patients who are getting active chemotherapy, we encourage not to get the shingles vaccine because it's different than those others. But definitely flu shots, almost everybody should get those.
So you definitely, before you like get your any of these shots, because I know some things are offered, for example, flu shots are now being offered in pharmacies and things like that. They're just out there, people who may not know your whole health history. We definitely, I think as Dr. Wakeley has said, you want to go back to your oncology team and ask them, work out the best plan for you, and this is very helpful. Thank you. Okay, and we have another question from one of our online participants. In terms of the issue of taking pills, when you have to take multiple pills, some people are taking both their cancer medicines, but maybe taking medicines for other health problems as well, and the whole issue around taking pills on schedule. And Dr. Rudy, would you like to address that?
I would. I think that's an area where the daily pill, the pill boxes can really be helpful, particularly if there are, if you're having to take, you know, a morning dose, a couple of pills in the morning, a couple at noon, a couple at night. The pill boxes can help you separate that out ahead of time, so you can put an entire week's worth, and you can even get someone to help you with that if it's complicated to the point that a second set of eyes is useful. I would strongly encourage with complicated medication regimens considering the pill box.
The other thing about the pill boxes, too, is they are now made in larger sizes. So instead of having to set them up once every week, there's a two-week and actually a monthly supply so that you can do it all at once, or you can have a friend or a family member help you set them all at once, and you don't have to think about it for a longer period of time. But the pill boxes are great.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Our next question, Mary?
Our next question comes from Catherine R.
Yes, I had two questions. The first question is my grandfather is legally blind in one eye, and at one point during breakfast he takes 15 medicines, and his problem is that he cannot see the dates on the med box, so he has taken some of his medicine, doubled his doses. And the second question is that some of his medicines, because he doesn't have insurance, is very high. And so we're having a little trouble with the adherence because he doesn't want the medicines if they're very expensive. So I was just wondering if you had any suggestions about that.
Oh, Catherine, that's such a wonderful question. And after the call, I want to speak with you as well. This is a very important issue around the cost of these medicines. And Pat, would you like to address that to begin with?
Yeah. As I mentioned earlier on the call, through the Cancer Care Copay Foundation, if your grandfather has Medicare or other kind of insurance and he's having trouble with the copayments, he might want to contact us. The number is 1-800-813-4673 and talk about finding a financial application. We can be helpful with the cost of medications directly related to cancer treatment. There are also other organizations that, such as the HealthWell Foundation, that can help with the cost of medication. So as Carolyn said, please give us a call after the call, and maybe we can be of some help to it. There are also pill boxes that are available with Braille covers, with the dates in Braille on them. Usually the pharmaceutical supply places, and you can ask your local pharmacy about it, and they can perhaps order one for you. But they do have them with Braille dates on them.
Awesome. Thank you. And Dr. Wakeley and Dr. Rudy, would you like to add anything in terms of the issue of just being, it's hard to see these sometimes, these things, and then in terms of, you know, taking more and how to handle that?
Sure. So one thing that can also be done is with the pill boxes that that people have, you can actually, you know, make a label that's written in much larger font and kind of tape that on if it's hard to read what's on there. Not everyone, obviously. If you know Braille, that's a fabulous solution. But if not, just sort of rewriting it in a bolder font. Or for people who English isn't their primary language, you can obviously modify them that way, too, just to tape that on top of the bottle. You get a little creative, but it's certainly something that's doable.
Excellent.
And then with if someone does accidentally take a double dose of medication, of course it's going to vary a lot depending on what drug it is. And so that would be something that would be either if you haven't talked about it ahead of time, again, to call into your healthcare team and ask what to do.
And you make a very good point. You know, you want to let your healthcare team know, Catherine, about your dad, you know, your grandfather and anyone on the call too who might be having similar problems to this. Because sometimes the healthcare team also can help you. There is something called the visiting nurse service, and they sometimes can provide some supportive help at home in terms of just around they're taking the pills or working with people directly with some of these creative solutions to see really what can be done. And also for people who are legally blind, sometimes in various communities there are services that are out there that you wouldn't necessarily know about, but now that we're talking about this on the call, that really specifically have services to help people who have visual problems. And there's all kinds of visual equipment and things that could be helpful, not just with taking the pills, but just in terms of general living that could be very helpful for your grandfather as well. So we'll talk afterwards. But yes.
And one of my patients' daughters color-coded her labels because she had visual difficulties and used, you know, large color-coded stickers so that her mother could identify what she was taking at any given time.
So it's actually, although there are a lot of possibilities, of course, always the challenge is finding the right fit for each person in conjunction with your healthcare team so that it works. And that's really very, very important. The other thing that I think we have another question from someone online about the prescription refills and keeping track of those. Any thoughts about that? People often have so much difficulty with their remembering to call the pharmacy or refill those prescriptions. And Dr. Rudy, do you want to comment on that? Just the challenges that people face because that period of time just goes by seemingly so quickly, and then it's the day to take the pill, and suddenly one's out of the pill. And we, because our audience are from all over the United States and from rural areas that may not have a pharmacy nearby and things like that. Any thoughts about that?
I do think it's a major challenge. The idea of the caller earlier who mentioned the Excel spreadsheet, if you were very computer savvy, you might come up with a system that could help you keep all of those dates in check. I think that some people won't have as much access to computers and may not find that to be as useful. Even a handwritten chart of kind of when things are expiring is useful if you're a very organized person. Otherwise, I think most of my patients end up just having to check the bottle every time they refill a prescription for the number of refills. And when you do see zero on that bottle, I encourage them to call me immediately so that we at least have the one-month window to get everything ready for them. But I think if you do find yourself in the situation where you suddenly realize you only have a couple of pills left in your bottle and there are zero refills, my major advice is to contact your physician as soon as possible and to emphasize when you do call the office, if you're leaving a message, to really leave a message including the details that you really don't have any, that you have very few pills left or that you have no pills left so that they understand the urgency.
And some of the big box stores like Kmart or Walmart, their pharmacy departments have an automatic renewal system, and they will call and leave a message on your phone telling you that you're due for a renewal. I know with some of the smaller pharmacies or in more rural areas that may not be possible, but you can check with, if you're using one of the big pharmacies, you can check with them. The other thing is if your insurance covers it, some of the pharmacies where you can get a 90-day supply or a 60-day supply where they will mail it to you, they will automatically renew the prescription unless your physician cancels it.
Excellent. Now, there's another question that came in about, that some people have many different doctors that they're seeing. So they have their oncologist. They may have a primary care doctor. And they perhaps have to have some dental work done as well. And also a lot of different doctors, and they're trying to decide, what pills to take, how to take them. And Dr. Rudy, could you address that just in terms of just the interface between all the different, the collaboration between doctors on some of the different pills that people are taking?
Absolutely. I think this is a very important issue that we are trying to improve upon with computerized medical records, and sometimes if all of your doctors are within a system, there may be better communication than if they're not. But I think that really right now the way that our healthcare is, the burden of communication falls mostly on the patient, and you can't assume that your doctors are communicating actively with each other on every pill that you're prescribed. So you do want to take the initiative to make sure that each physician knows exactly what medications you're on, that list is updated at each visit, and even sometimes between visits, if you're getting a new prescription, for example, for an antibiotic from your primary care doctor, even if that is being prescribed, for example, over the phone, you want to make sure that that doctor knows exactly what the other medications you're on, what your oncologist is treating you with, for example, to make sure there's no interactions that are going to be problematic between your medications.
Excellent. And you know, sometimes your primary care doctor knows certain things and your oncologist knows certain things, and so you may actually want to check with, I guess, both of them around the antibiotic, just to be sure that to run things past your oncologist, particularly if you're in active treatment, because they actually may know a great deal more about the medicines you're taking, perhaps, than your primary care physician, although your primary care physician could know a great deal as well, but just to cover all bases, I think, is what we're recommending. Sounds like a lot of work, actually, for everybody on the call. So let's talk about, perhaps all the speakers would like to just give a quick tip on, it is a lot of work to do this, and are there any, kind of as we come to the rounding up of the call, any recommendations that you each want to make? I'm going to ask each of you in the order that you presented, just a takeaway for each person to think about that's so important around these issues. Dr. Wakely?
I wanted to, first of all, plug the role of the pharmacist. So it's really helpful if everybody kind of consistently goes to a same pharmacy and gets to know a pharmacist if possible, because they also can catch some of those potential interactions. So I just wanted to throw that bit in. And then sort of as a more of a summary statement, just to again emphasize that many of our newer cancer treatments are oral, that this is going to become more and more a standard way of treating cancer. And it puts a little bit more of the burden on the patient, because you've got to remember and figure out ways to remember to take those medications on schedule. But it also can be a big help, because you don't have to worry about going in and getting IV pokes and that sort of thing. So there are definitely benefits to it as well.
Excellent. And Dr. Roddy, do you want to comment as well?
Sure. I think Dr. Wakely's point about the pharmacist is very important, and I guess I'll just reiterate that I think it's very important to take advantage of your friends and family who are able to help you in figuring out how to best take your medications, whether that's laying out a pill box or giving you a call every day to remind you to take the pill. If you've identified that that's where the holdup in your ability to take the pills is, I think most people have more people like that in their lives than they actually ask to help them, and particularly when you're dealing with a cancer diagnosis, I think friends and family are more than happy to help and are often looking for a way to help, and so that's something to consider as you're thinking about your pill taking.
Excellent. Thank you. Excellent. And Pat?
Yeah, I'd just like to reiterate the importance of involving other people that you do need. It's sometimes you have help, and it's all right to ask for it. And the importance, too, of communicating with your doctor if you're having trouble remembering your schedules or you have difficulty with the side effects of any of the medications. Your doctor, the nurse practitioner, the physician assistants are all there to help you with your problems.
Excellent. Thank you. I want to thank all our speakers today. You have just been an extraordinary team. I have to say thank you all. And I want to also thank those of you who've been listening on the call, and those of you who asked such great questions. And I want to remind you that this is a one-hour program, and that although we're soon going to be closing the actual educational workshop today, we cancer care services are available to you as long as you need them, so that we're here, as Pat had said, we're here endlessly, and to some extent, you can contact us through our 800 number or via the website for information. You know, we hope that you'll take away the information that you learned today and bring it back to your treating healthcare team and really use it to really help you to have a better handle on the importance of really taking your pills and really being able to make those necessary changes so that you can actually take your pills on schedule as much as possible. Now, I do also want to let you know about all the services you can access from Cancer Care. Now, Cancer Care has a staff of 60 master's-level trained oncology social workers, and we are all here to provide a lot of different things for each of you. We provide practical and financial assistance. We provide counseling or a chance to talk with one of our social work staff about concerns you may have. We also run a lot of different support groups, and those support groups on the telephone and online. We also have lots of materials and publications, and we, of course, run a lot of these Connect workshops. So there's a lot of different things that we offer, and we would ask you to please feel free to take advantage of all of them. They are all free, and you can customize them to meet your needs. But most importantly, as we conclude the program, I don't want anyone to feel that you're alone. in coping with cancer. I want you to now feel that you're part of a community of support and that we're here for you. We're simply a telephone call away or a mouse click away from on your computer, and we are really here to help. So I want to thank you all for your participation today, and I want to wish you all a very fine day. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your participation. This concludes the workshop. You may disconnect and have a wonderful day.